Hello, everybody. My name is Ray. Welcome to the Evangelical Dark Web. Today, we're going to be discussing focus on the family being compromised on homosexuality. Now, this is kind of a big deal, but it's not necessarily new news. They've never really been solid on this issue. And we're going to go back to how they've treated this issue since 2019. And they've actually gotten worse over time, not better. So we're going to discuss this. And basically, the gist of their compromise is they do not believe that being gay is a sin. The Bible clearly disagrees, so we're going to get into how focus on the family is compromised in this area. But first, I want to let you know, Evangelical Dark Web is a Christian news gathering and commentary ministry. This story blew up on Monday, and it's definitely worth talking about because of the theology involved. So We do more stories at Evangelical Dark Web's newsletter, and we also have a Patreon-like system that gives you bonus access to bonus content. But the least you can do is like this video, subscribe to the channel, to the podcast, if you are new. Now, they posted this, is being gay a sin? And they posted this on social media, and it got ratioed into oblivion. Happy to say that I did my part in this. Well, what's interesting is they hid this reply. They had 387 replies as of this recording, and the only reply that they hid was this guy named Tommy saying a repentant homo is no longer a homo. Now, that's biblically correct, and that was a pretty innocuous, tame reply, especially in comparison to the rest of the comments section. You know, I called this heresy, and they said they need to repent for saying that being gay doesn't send people to hell, basically saying that being gay isn't a sin. So with that said, let's go to their article it's called Homosexuality and Salvation. So they're answering the following questions. Is being gay a sin? Will being gay send me to hell? Can you be gay and a Christian? I believe in Jesus as my Lord and Savior, and I desperately want to please him and do his will, but I'm a homosexual. I believe that I was born this way and that nothing will ever change it. So this is a tough question that they're asked, but theologically, it's not a tough answer. So here's where the compromise really begins. Is being gay a sin? And they say, before we say anything else, please know that being gay doesn't send anybody to hell. This is incorrect. We go to hell for our sins. And what they're adopting here, I believe, is they're adopting orientation as a fixed immutable characteristic of a person, which is incorrect. Orientation is about identity. It's about self-identity. And yeah, if you are a Christian, you cannot identify with sin, which is what this article is encouraging, and as well as the questioner, if that's a real questioner, is doing also. It says, God only uses one fact to judge the world and determine who is saved and who isn't, faith in Jesus Christ. This is true as far as salvation is concerned. Faith in Jesus Christ is the determining factor. However, this is not the only factor in which God judges the world. There are varying degrees of punishment and there are varying degrees of reward. So what we do in this life matters beyond whether we are saved or not saved. So there's a pass-fail component, but there's also degrees of reward, degrees of punishment. Jesus talks about this extensively. For instance, when he talks about, you know, the millstone being wrapped around your neck, then, you know, it's better for that to, you know, have a millstone tied to you and, you know, be cast into a lake than it would be to cause someone to stumble, one of these believers, these children of God, to stumble. That is a degree of punishment that Jesus is talking about. Jesus also said it would be worse for the people, I believe is of Capernaum, than it will be for Tyre and Sidon, and maybe also Sodom and Gomorrah. I feel like there's multiple condemnations that are very similar, where he says that these cities, I think it's Tyre and Sodom would have repented, or, you know, and Sodom, you know, would have, you know, they will be judging you. So basically, Jesus does talk about degrees of punishment as well, because, and that's especially in terms of knowledge. Like, these people saw Jesus in the flesh and rejected him. They will be judged harshly for that. It's not just a pass-fail. They didn't believe they're going to hell. They're going to get punished in hell for their sin. And so when we say that your sin doesn't send you to hell, that's just theologically asinine. That's not biblical whatsoever. And sure, they get into the gospel here, but they've already premised it falsely. And maybe, you know, this is a dig at Arminian theology, but I think this is actually worse than, say, Pelagianism. At least Pelagius just denied original sin because he wanted to hold people more responsible for the sin they did commit and kind of had like a very hardcore emphasis on free will and our desire to sin. So he emphasized that and was a heretic for it. This is worse than Pelagianism because it's basically saying it's just a pass-fail on whether we're saved or go to hell, and there's no other real judgment involved. You know, what our particular sins don't actually matter. And yes, our particular sins do matter. Our particular virtues that we do in Christ also matter because we get rewards for that in heaven. And as well as our mistakes can actually cost us rewards in heaven. So what we do in this life matters. And it's not just simply, you know, I like to think of salvation, being born again, as the beginning. It's not necessarily the end. Should be the beginning of your life and your new life. And, you know, things that you do after that should be to the glory of God. So let's talk about sinning while being saved, which is kind of where this goes next. So they do get into a gospel presentation, which is, you know, we all deserve to go to hell. So it's basically saying when it comes to what we do and the way we lived, everyone stands condemned, whether they identify as gay or straight, liberal, conservative, religious or not. Everybody stands condemned, whether they are male or female, black or white, old or young. You notice how a lot of these were not sinful categories. So it's not helpful to do that because they're basically leveling out all sin and all categories as, you know, it doesn't mean as if they don't mean anything. So, you know, a lot of these categories, you can still be and a Christian, but then they have sinful categories like gay and liberal and irreligious that are mixed with innocuous, immutable categories. So it talks about, you know, people are sinners and stuff like that. But let's get into the meat of it. With those things in mind, we think your question boils down to, is it possible to believe in Jesus and be a homosexual at the same time? Is it possible to be gay and a Christian? And the answer, as we see it, is yes and no. And, you know, I'm going to let them finish, but again, we're already compromising by believing in homosexual orientation. That is a big deal. So here's our answer to the question, is being gay a sin? Here at Focus on the Family, we take a view that there's an important difference between homosexual feelings and desires and acting on those feelings and desires. But this, frankly, is not biblical. And I'll get into the Bible verses in a second. As with any sinful behavior, it is not about being tempted, but about willfully engaging in activity that goes against God's law. So to answer the question, can you be gay and a Christian? Yes, you can be a Christian and at the same time struggle with same-sex attraction. But no, you can't be a faithful, obedient Christian while willingly involving yourself in homosexual acts. So let's quote the Bible here. Romans 1, for this reason God gave them over to degrading passions, for their women exchange the natural affection for that which is unnatural. So that's, natural function, my bad. And in the same way, the men also abandoned the natural function of the woman and burned in their desire towards one another, men committing indecent acts and receiving upon their own persons the due penalty of their error. So Paul talks about they burned with desire, burned in their desire towards one another. That is Paul clearly condemning homosexual desire, not just the action. The action is also condemned, but the desire towards one another is condemned here. It's not just the action without the desire. The desire is also condemned. Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount, talks about sinful desires. Coveting, the 10th commandment, is a sinful desire. It's not a sinful action. It's a sinful desire. As well as lust, to look at another woman lustfully is to commit adultery in your heart. That is a sinful desire. That is not a sinful action. So going back to focus on the family's essay or question answer here.
Lowe's knows you've got a job to do, and we help get it done. With the MyLowe's Pro Rewards program, eligible members save more with volume discounts on qualifying orders through a quote of $2,000 or more. Join for free today. Lowe's, we help you save. Offer can't be combined with any other discount, contract, and or special pricing. Exclusions, more terms, and restrictions apply. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
What they're saying is that you can identify as a homosexual and identify as a Christian at the same time. And as long as you don't act on your desires that are sinful, you know, they're not saying they're sinful, but they are sinful desires, then you're still being faithful and obedient. This is not true. We need to conform our desires to the will of God. Our desires need to be conformed. Our thoughts need to be taken captive. And, you know, we got to control our tongues, as James teaches us in James. So what we think matters. What we want matters. And let's talk about attraction for a minute. You know, Romans 1 calls it unnatural. It's an unnatural desire. Therefore, it's really inherently sinful for that reason. That to me puts it in a separate category from natural desires, like, you know, man on woman desires. Those are natural desires. Yes, oftentimes they can be corrupted and sinful, but those are natural desires. They belong in their own category for the sake of this exercise for a moment, because unnatural desires automatically sinful. They did not come from God at all. So with that said, when they talk about experiencing attraction and not giving into that, no, the attraction proceeds from the desires. And attraction is a value assessment. You know, if someone's a Sir Mix-a-Lot kind of guy, their attraction is based on that value assessment of whether a woman lines up with those attributes that they're attracted to. That's my non-crass way of saying it, of explaining that. If someone, you know, in particular likes, spicy Latina women, that's a value assessment. And whether, you know, they're attracted to someone corresponds with how someone measures up to their value assessment. That is how it works. So attraction stems from a value assessment, which stems from your desires, your internal desires. There is an internal drive. So with that said, there's what God made sexual desire to be, you know, between a man and a woman in marriage, and everything outside of that. Yeah, it needs to be controlled, needs to be shut down before it gets into a sinful direction. If it's unnatural, then that's already bad. That's already sin. So, because I don't think it's sinful to say, hey, this person's, you know, objectively beautiful. I don't think that's a sin, but it is. But there's a crossing of the line when that says, hey, you know, I desire to go in her. That is where the sin line is crossed. Yeah, I don't even know how you draw that line with a man, because I'm just that not gay. But anyway, they continue. Anyone who wants to follow Jesus needs to make it their goal to stay away from sexual practices that the Bible says are sinful. But the Bible, again, the Bible also says that sexual desires can be sinful. Consider the great mystery of the Christian life, Christ in you, and they quote Colossians 1:27, not next to you, not over you, but in you. That is a deeper reason why practicing homosexual cannot be a practicing Christian. So they're using the term practicing. which I don't think is accurate. If you're an identifying homosexual, you're not really identifying in Christ. The same would go for anyone engaged in any sexual sin. Just as Paul says in his first letter to Corinthians, do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Again, members of Christ. So that means that they're not acting on sinful desires. They're not having sinful desires. When we are glorified at the end of this life, we will not have sinful desires. And temptation, there's a couple things going on. One, we have original sin. Again, not Pelagian here. We have original sin. This causes our natural desires to be corrupted. And then there's unnatural desires as well. But, you know, so natural desires are already corrupted thanks to original sin. And I think, you know, with men, lust is the biggie here. And, you know, the people that struggle with that, oftentimes when they are struggling with that, it's because they want to struggle with that. Like they want to indulge in that. They're wrestling with that desire to sin. So that's why it's very important to take our thoughts captive to revile sins like pornography. We got to train our minds to revile that. And that is also what the repentant former homosexual needs to do. They need to train their mind to revile that. And that is the advice that they need here. It's not just don't act on your feelings. That's not sufficient advice. That's not sufficiently counseling people not to sin. So it's actively undermining, if anything, their sanctification journey. And that's if they're a genuine born-again believer. So as with sexual sin, so they're comparing it to sexual sin, but no one identifies as a fornicating Christian or a gooner Christian or a, adultery committing Christian. No one identifies as that. That's a ridiculous comparison. So their own comparison doesn't hold up. So the last thing I want to talk about is how this has gotten worse over time. So this is a text compare. Green is what has been added and red is what's been taken away since 2019 when this article first appeared. So they added the is being gay sin and can you be gay and a Christian? They added that and then got the answer to that question wrong. You cannot be a gay and a Christian. You cannot be a gay Christian. And yes, being gay is a sin according to the Bible. So yeah, they added that and got it wrong. So this article's gotten worse over time. It was not great at the start. They still had the line about, you know, your sin doesn't send you to hell, which is theologically incorrect. Thanks, Tim Keller, for that influence. Like, that's why I'm very harsh on Tim Keller and the legacy of Tim Keller, is because this is the type of compromise he created, because he created a seeker-sensitive environment for liberals in New York City, and he used his influence to peddle those same methodologies to other people. Also, this side B theology, my research tells me that it started in the Gospel Coalition, and I do have, you know, a certain white paper that they published that is, to me, the earliest of this theology called side B theology that I've spent a lot of time fighting here on Evangelical Dark Web. So if you like that kind of content, you want to keep on the fight and support the fight against this wicked theology called side B theology, do also subscribe to the channel, to the podcast if you're new. I interrupt this video for a rare edit because an update to the story persisted, because I recorded this on Monday. An update happened on Tuesday afternoon where Focus on the Family has issued a correction to the article in question. So this article got worse over time, and now it has been revamped entirely to be biblical. So you love to see that. Let's dive right into this part of the story. So they've even changed the headline to be the problem with a gay Christian identity. So they've really honed in on the real issue, and they focused a lot more on the term gay Christian and gay celibate Christian or queer Christian, saying that these terms are not biblical and they don't even make sense. So Focus on the Family Now does not believe these terms are biblical or helpful for same-sex attracted strugglers. Now, again, I still believe that the attraction itself is a sin, but they have now relented on believing that the identity is not a sin. So now they believe that the identity is a sin, and this is great to see that they got ratioed by a bunch of believers and they corrected themselves on this, and you love to see that, actually. So they now have revamped this entire article to be about why you can't really call yourself a gay Christian. It's disconnected from church history. And then they talk about how gay Christian argue that gay is equivalent of same-sex attraction, but that is not how most people use this language. In fact, is that how anyone outside of the side B theology camp uses this language? And they basically go into town against the side A people. But this whole article just became a polemic, in part, for the most part, against side B theology, where before it was peddling the Tim Keller, D.A. Carson, Preston Sprinkle nonsense. Also Mark Yarhouse, let's throw him in there as well. So you'll love to see that a correction has been made. Thank you, Focus on the Family, for issuing a correction, and it's the same link too. So it is a dramatically different correction than what it previously was. Thank you, Focus on the Family, for doing the right thing. And it has solved a lot of issues now. So Focus on the Family has just uncompromised itself on the issue of homosexuality. And that's all I got to say about that for now. My name's Ray. It's the Evangelical Dark Web. If you like this kind of content, do also subscribe to the channel. Stay based. Christ is King. And we will catch you on the next one.
Lowe's knows you've got a job to do, and we help get it done. With the MyLowe's Pro Rewards program, eligible members save more. With volume discounts on qualifying orders through a quote of $2,000 or more. Join for free today. Lowe's, we help you save. Offer can't be combined with any other discount, contract, and or special pricing. Exclusions, more terms, and restrictions apply. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change. Lowe's knows that free makes everything better. That's why our rewards members get free standard shipping on the things they need and want, starting at Silver Key status every day. Savings for rewards members add up fast, so why wait? Join for free today. Lowe's, we help you save. Not available in Alaska and Hawaii. Exclusions and more terms apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/shipping terms. Subject to change.